Now,
the rest of the story. Chicago, 1892. A great World's Fair was in the planning stages. The planners looked over their shoulders. Only 3 years before, the Paris Exposition had left in its wake a landmark, a permanent monument to that event, the Eiffel Tower. How then might our own Columbian Exposition be remembered? What monument might we offer to rival Alexander Eiffel's architectural masterpiece? It was an open challenge to all American engineers. And a 33-year-old bridge builder, named George Washington Gale, accepted that challenge. No sooner was George's design approved by the Columbian Exposition Committee, however, than the planners began receiving complaints. Some of the nation's leading civil engineers insisted the thing was impossible. George's monument was, they said, structurally unsafe, dangerous. Indeed, the slightest miscalculation and thousands might be killed. So George went back to his drawing board. Responding to complaints that his unprecedented design was unsafe, George re-examined his plans, and they were corrected, he determined. He got a dozen other engineers to back him up. So once more, the exposition committee gave George the go-ahead. But by now, it was mid-December, 1892, with the fair opening just 4 winter months away. Was it too late to begin construction? A bridge containing that amount of steel would take a year to build, and this was a far more complex structure than any bridge. Well, George took a deep breath, closed his eyes. "We start working January 3rd, he said. And they sure enough did. And slowly the metal monster rose high into the snowy sky, beam by beam, until at last, upon a foundation 35 feet deep, it stood hundreds of feet in the air, taller than a 26-story building. The exposition deadline had been met. Now, who would be first to make the ascent to the top? George was out of town, unable to return in time. The skeptics cried chicken. According to them, George's absence was an admission that his creation was unsafe. But somebody knew better. George's wife, Margaret. And suddenly, shattered public confidence was consolidated once more behind the announcement that she, the designer's wife, would accompany the first men to the 265-foot summit. And she did. And thereafter, from the corners of the earth, visitors came to marvel at the magnificent monstrosity. Twice over, it paid for itself in the year that followed. In fact, so celebrated was the giant structure that it was eventually packed up and sent to St. Louis for the World's Fair there in 1904. By the time of that incredible transplanting, George was 8 years dead, tuberculosis at 36. He never lived to learn the rest of the story, that one day his creation would become better known than the Eiffel Tower, that one day of his 26-story monster there would be replicas in miniature everywhere, constant reminders for as long as time, to keep his name alive in gaily colored lights all over the world. For the man who designed and built that magnificent monstrosity in Chicago in 1893 was George Washington Gale Ferris. And the undying monument to his memory and his wife's was the world's first Ferris wheel. And now you know the rest of the story.